Non-stop talk radio, streaming 24 hours a day.
Whoa, what am I hearing?
This is TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Italy has fascinating culture, beautiful scenery, amazing history, and warm, friendly people. Nobody knows Italy better than the host of How to Tour Italy. Here's Anthony Capozzoli on TalkZone.com.
And we're back. I love that. So, Daryl, you do it. Just give us a live
answer. And we're back.
That's awesome. Okay, so what we're talking about is Rome, it being a truly being a walking city. You have to have a good map with you. And if you aren't willing to walk, the public transportation is wonderful in Rome. The metro is very, very easy to use. They have maps of the metro stations, the stops, and it's super, super cheap. You can cross the whole of Rome for €1 or so. It's a great way to go. Not to mention it's nice and cool. Just be aware of pickpockets and things like that, but it's a great way to go. And all the stops are named for the major sites. Trevi. San Pietro, the Colosseum, et cetera, et cetera. So just know that, it's relatively easy to use the metro station, and all you have to do, all the people that work at the window booths and things like that along the way, you can stop and ask and they'll tell you which train to get on, Metro A or B, and which direction to go. So with that, we are walking actually now leaving San Pietro, in the wonderful piazza, and we cross through Castel Sant'Angelo and Ponte Sant'Angelo. And I want you to do that little funny bit about what it would look like to see the Pope running from St. Peter's into Castel Sant'Angelo if in Rome were indeed being sacked, as it were, by the barbarians of the day.
Right. So you have that raised pathway that's probably about, 40 feet off the ground or something.
Yeah. And this is what Dan Brown talks about, by the way, in Angels and Demons. And it's the protected walkway that the Pope would use if Rome were being sacked back in the day to get from St. Peter's into Castle Sant'Angelo. So.
Well, it's just kind of funny. I just envision probably a 70-year-old man in a big white flowing robe running with his hands in the air as the whole town burning down around him. Going to the place. And all you could probably see if you were down on the ground are these big arms in the air with a white robe going, is something going on we should know about?
Why is the Pope running?
That's exactly right. It's a good warning sign. We should probably go home.
You should take cover, I think, maybe. Something's happening. I don't know what.
When the Pope's nervous, I'm nervous. He's got more guys on his side than me.
It's awesome. Yeah.
So, or the guys with the Swiss guards with the striped things when they're running.
So, you should probably take cover.
This is a bad thing.
Things are happening. And that's true. So
can
now
we get the check.
Can we get the check? Just get us out of here right now, please.
Yeah. So we walked around and, then I'm a big fitness nut. So I think that I recommend people walk. It's good for you. You're going to be tired. It's going to feel good later though, but you got to stay hydrated. It's hot. Got to go a long way, and it's up and down hills, so pace yourself. Learn what you want to see, so you're going directly to those places.
Yep.
But also, it was something new I learned along the way. You'll see all these like natural water fountains.
Yes.
Along the way.
And in Rome,
Only in Rome, and the water is perfectly clean, and you can just walk up there and put your face in it and cool down, or fill up your water bottle and keep doing that, and they're all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's not something I would ever think of. You would think, oh, it's a dirty old city. I would never drink that.
No, it's great.
Perfectly pure. So do that. Or buy it from the vendors along the way.
Yeah.
And you're going to have little souvenir things along the way. But the best thing those guys sell are bottles of water.
Without a doubt. And so it leads us to believe now you can fill up your water. The next kind of discussion we went in the next day, we enjoyed kind of ancient Rome. And we started out, our goal was to see obviously the Roman Forum, the Colosseum, the Palatine Hill, among other sites. So my next bit of advice, my next tip is you want to see the Colosseum. Everybody wants to see the Colosseum. Do yourself a favor. Go buy your ticket first at the Roman Forum or at the Palatine Hill and go see both of those sites first and then go to the Colosseum with your ticket. This way you don't wait in line. You were able to see the Roman Forum, walk through the entire thing. You get to see wonderful arches, all this fantastic ancient Roman architecture. You get to see Julius Caesar's funeral pyre and lots of other great things, obviously. And we'll be doing an in situ segment on the Roman Forum with my friend Grant from Eden Walks. And that'll be coming up here on the How to Tour Italy show very, very soon. I don't have an exact date. We're still kind of work out on each other's schedules here, but that'll be coming up. So we went in, bought our ticket. I think it was €12. And it's a three-site ticket. It gets you into the Roman Forum, the Palatine Hill, and the Colosseum. Walked and enjoyed all those great sites at the Forum. Walked right up to the Colosseum, and before we got there, going back to the water tip here, there's usually a guy selling bottles of water right when you exit the Roman Forum, walking up to the Colosseum, and these things are wonderful because they are frozen. Why are you guys laughing? What's funny about that? Oh, that's Kristen in the background swearing on the radio.
Can we get a call from the FCC, please?
Yeah. No, but the point is there's a guy there that sells bottles of water for €1, and they're frozen solid. And don't worry about buying them frozen solid. In about 12 minutes, they're going to be thawed out, and you'll have a perfectly nice, cool bottle of water if you didn't buy one before you kind of walked in the Roman Forum, which I, again, recommend that you have one to stay hydrated. And there are these water fountains inside the Roman Forum, so you can refresh yourself before you leave the Forum at that little spigot. It's wonderful. So with that, again, you bought our ticket. Now we're walking up to the Colosseum, and you walk right in. You don't have to wait in line. And once again, I will stress, even if you make a reservation for the Colosseum and only the Colosseum, in order to pick up that ticket at the Colosseum, you have to wait in line to get to the ticket window to pick up your reservation. It will take you on busy days upwards of 2 hours. So buy your ticket at the Palatine Hill or the Roman Forum. Where do you buy your tickets, Daryl?
Palatine Hill or Roman Forum.
Exactly. And then you walk right into the Colosseum. And this way you avoid waiting in line, you will stay hydrated and nice and cool, and you get into the Colosseum. It's a fantastic way to go. So with that, I'm sorry, Roman Forum, and we're talking about the Colosseum. Let's talk a little bit about some of your experiences there. What did you think of those sites?
Well, the Roman Forum is great because it is, you know, when you think of the ruins of Rome and, you know, the columns, still a few of them standing up, a few of them laying down, and you get to walk right among them. And, you know, Caesar's funeral pyre and all these are not things you look through a window at or look behind a rope. You walk right up to them.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And put your hands on them and walk around and things. You know, one thing to keep in mind, there's lots of other people trying to see these things and trying to get great photos. So, you know, be mindful of other people around and stuff, but experience it all. I mean, really walk around. And then you can almost picture thousands, tens of thousands of people, Romans back in the day, doing the exact same thing. And this was their day-to-day life. And just to imagine this flourishing civilization that was 2,000 years before ours is amazing. They did all this.
I know.
They built all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really quite awe-inspiring that they've done it all. It makes you want to go home and do something. I got to build something. I've got this book I've wanted to do.
Yeah.
And my yard's a mess. And these guys are building columns. Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat. And, you know, so we spent some time there and really enjoyed it. Walked around, and you're down in this, like, kind of sunken area. It's really low. It's, I guess, the original level of the city, probably. The city's been built on top of itself so many times.
Right.
And you can look down. That's something I found really interesting, too, that you pointed out was, you know, look at the building where it is now, but look down the side of it. You can see it's 30 feet higher above ground than it used to be.
Right.
Because all the layers of things have gone. Every civilization in Rome 200-300 years at a time built on top of it.
They did. They built on top of themselves because they'd figured why do it again? They just used the existing structures and just built right over them. And a lot of times you'll see it looks like archways built into the walls. Well, they didn't do it for decoration. What they did is just fill in the archway, use that as foundation, and up they went. They built the next layer upon itself. And at the Roman Forum, you can see a lot of times walking up to it around the Capitoline Hill and all of those structures on the kind of around the Roman Forum, you can see how deep the ancient city of Rome went. And it's truly amazing. You're like, and you'll think to yourself, there's no way it went that far down, but it really did. It went even deeper than that. And it's cool because you get to live and breathe that. It's very, very cool. And then a friend of mine will talk about this in a second. Some good tips about how to stay cool in the Roman heat. And I'll give you some tips on that in a minute here, but Colosseum is one of those tips. After you take my advice, you've got your ticket, you walk right in. And the other thing you should do between the Roman Forum, and the Colosseum, there are guys dressed up as gladiators all around the Colosseum. Now, it only costed €1 to take a picture with them or a couple of euros to do a video shoot with them. Have a little fun. Take some pictures. They're cool. They're super cool guys. They do this for a living. They don't ask you it's $1 or €1 a picture, whatever. So take some pictures, but be courteous. Throw a couple of euros at them. It's awesome. They make it a really fun way to enjoy the Colosseum, I think, and dive in and kind of have kind of your own like child experience with it all a little bit. Now, I did see one lady with a very, very nice camera set up taking some cool pictures of some of the gladiators, the dressed up gladiators around there. And she, I asked her a question. I said, you know, she's setting up the shot, and she's just using one of those guys that is dressed up for this. And I asked her what she was going to do with that stuff. And she will turn them into black and white or sepia tone images with the Coliseum in the background and these awesome pictures. And I'm going to try to find out a website that you can see some of her photos on, but they looked awesome. So do that. If you're a bit of a creative photographer or you want to take some cool video shoots, these guys will, if you ask them to, will set up there and let you take some pictures with the archways in the background and the Coliseum itself. So I recommend doing that. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, and be fun with it. And you think about it. These are grown men in gladiator costumes. They're showmen. They're entertainers. They got to sit there all day. They like to have fun as much as possible. We got the guy to dance with us on video.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
We got laying on the ground, and he stood on our chest with things. They'll do all these
things. Yeah, it's awesome.
Just ask them to do it. So if you got these kids, you know, scare the heck out of your kids, you know, with that stuff. You know, it's fun.
It's great. It is really
You only
cool.
get to be here once, maybe.
Yeah.
Your whole life. So
absolutely.
Have some fun with it, and they're there to help you with the experience. And, you know, we then, you know, go walk over towards the Coliseum, and, you know, we took some videos and things there, and you just look around, it's like, wow, this is, you know, this is the thing you always see in the movies,
yeah.
and you're standing right there.
And it is surprisingly well preserved for as destroyed as it really is at the end of the day. It has been stripped down to lots of its marble, but the structure itself is extraordinarily well preserved, and it's beautiful. I mean, think about what you're standing in. And I do a segment on howtotouritaly.com. You can see one of the videos. I talk very plainly about how many people have died there, how much blood has been shed, the type of different games one would see, and what life was like for an ancient Roman to go to essentially an entertainment structure to be entertained for the day that could last up to, you know, 4 months at, you know, certain emperors depending on what they were doing. And it's pretty crazy. I mean, because you see and can almost hear if you kind of sit back and listen to, in fact, the walking tour itself, we'll be doing in situ on the Coliseum, listen to my walking tour about the Coliseum itself. And you can, if you close your eyes, you can actually hear in your minds, like your mind's eye, the Romans screaming for a wonderful show. And it's an awesome experience. And there are some great photo opportunities in there. I recommend when you walk in, I like to go all the way up to the second level. I think you get some really cool video shots and photo opportunities looking into the Coliseum. And then if you look out towards the Forum and into Rome itself, it's just a wonderful place to be for the day, I think. And if you're inside, there's a bathroom in there you can use, and don't recall seeing, and I have to double think this a little bit here. I don't think there's a water fountain in there, so you have to bring water in with you.
Yeah, I didn't see it there.
No. Okay. But it's a great way to experience Rome itself, and it's a beautiful, beautiful location. I mean, you're standing at one of the most visited tourist attractions in the world in the Coliseum. It's very busy, but it's great, and they have lots of people offering free tours and other things. I don't ever use them. I don't know anything about them, so I can't speak, you know, on one side of the fence or the other on them. I recommend, however, if you're going to visit the Coliseum, organizing or paying for a walking tour with someone, you know, just don't do an impromptu tour if someone's offering something for free. Nothing is ever free. There's got to be a cost involved, I'm guessing. I don't know what it is, so I can't say what it is. But I do walking tours of the Coliseum. Eden Walks, you know, if you contact Eden Walks, at EdenWalks.com, they're do wonderful walking tours themselves. So something like that, I highly recommend kind of organizing it beforehand.
Yeah, and ask the person you're with, whoever you're with here, there's some level of detail you're missing. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
There's so much of it. And so, you know, when you're looking at something, don't be shy to sit there to your guide or whoever, say, what am I looking at here?
Mm-hmm.
What is this? You know, what is this box? Why are those columns right there? All those things.
Yes.
What are all these channels? What happened here? Because even your tour guide gets on a kind of a roll with a script, and they don't realize you've maybe never seen this before. So they tell you the standard stuff, but you might get this little detail that's the most interesting thing about it that
right.
is kind of a throwaway for someone who sees it every day. So, you know, I ask them, what are we looking at here? And, you know, a bit of homework for you to do before you go to the Coliseum, for example, or anything else with this. I would say, by the way, for about 2-3 weeks before you go, get outside and start walking around every day a couple of miles.
Yeah.
Start getting acclimated to the heat that you're going to be in and also your ankles being sore and all those things and breaking those shoes that
yes.
you don't whip out. So do that. But the other thing of homework, and this might be heresy, and I apologize in
it's
advance.
Right.
About it. You should rent the movie Gladiator.
No, it's a great thing to do. I think it's a great way
and,
to do
and it. And what I say is there's for one specific scene. I mean, you get the whole pageantry of whatever is going on, but one of the coolest things about it is that when Commodus comes back, victorious from the war,
well, He wasn't. Okay.
Well, I know Marcus Aurelius is victorious. He comes and says, eh, well, like,
look what I did. He didn't do a damn thing. His father
Dad
did.
Loosened the jar, and then he opened that sucker right up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he comes back, though, on a chariot, and what it has is this CGI effect of what Rome looked like in its heyday. The Colosseum, not as ruins, but brand new.
Yeah.
Ticker tape parade, all the buildings flat out, and that two-minute scene, pretty much you can lay that as a template on top of what you're seeing today, and it gives you a context and a point of view of that's what it looks like. Wow. You know,
absolutely.
And that's where I'm standing right now. And it really helps, I think, to, you know, kind of give you a, you know, a baseline of what this was.
Without a doubt. It's a great way to go. I highly, highly recommend it. Now, when you leave the Colosseum, I recommend walking up Via Imperial, and walking towards the wedding cake. You know what I mean? When you get here, it's an enormous building to Vittorio Emanuele. You can't miss it. And on the right-hand side, you will start to see Trajan's Forum and Trajan's Mall. And then you'll also see Trajan's Column on the right side of the road. Go in there and take a look at what the ancient Romans used to do. They would go shopping in the mall. I mean, Trajan literally built a mall. A mall that we're all used to seeing, the mall that we're all used to walking into. I don't know if they had an Orange Julius or not or a Starbucks, but I'll tell you what, if they were around, they would have been there.
That's right. Get your ears pierced at Claire's.
Little things like that. And it's amazing how effective life was here in Rome. Running water, sewer systems, just shopping malls, things like that. It's truly amazing. When you see this all firsthand, keep in mind how old these buildings are and they're still standing. It's truly impressive. So you can go check that out. And then some of the other things you can do to kind of, I talked about some tips about how to get out of the heat a little bit in Rome. And, some things to do is enjoy some of the outdoor sights at night. Trevi Fountain, Piazza Navona, the exterior of the Pantheon. I do think it's important to get to the Pantheon during the day to get inside because it's one of my favorite sights in the world. But when you see these things at night, they light everything up with these wonderful lights, and it makes it a completely enjoyable experience. You can buy wine or beer at almost all of these sites around the cafe. There's cafes around, you know, things you can buy to drink and enjoy. Do so and let it kind of soak in. Take videos, and you'll be amazed at how loud the water is actually kind of in the fountain, the Trevi Fountain. Would you agree, Daryl? I mean, it sounds like the ocean is right there, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it is pretty amazing. And at night, it's fantastic because the water just glows, and there's so many people around. And, you know, the interesting thing is that another thing to get acclimated before you go, start staying up a little late for a week because some of these things are great at midnight. You
right.
see people eating dinner at 11 o'clock at night
yep.
and going around, and you're walking around these sites, you're going to the Pantheon. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, and there are thousands of people there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the Italian way, but it's also just what people do here because there's so much to take in a few days.
Right.
But stay out late. Get out of your hotel and go to these places. You sleep when you get home.
Exactly.
You really can. And you know, things like the Pantheon, for example, you're walking down this little tiny street, little corridor, and you turn a corner, and we talked about the reveal from before, but you also turn this corner and see it, and it's like when you see one of those big McMansion houses on a piece of lawn that's way too small for this big of a house. That was kind of the impression I had, this massive structure sitting right there in the middle of the square with buildings and cafes and everything around it. Sit down and grab a drink right there, and that's your background. That's your view is while I'm having a drink or just a quick little gelato, hanging out next to the Pantheon. And see it during the day, definitely, so you can walk in and see it all. It's really, really inspiring.
Yeah.
But these kinds of things are all over Rome. So get to know that map. Get the map at the desk of your hotel. Start circling it and plot out a little route so you do it all on the way.
Absolutely, and grab a couple of them because they're free. I think they're the best maps you can not only get for Rome but for Florence and for Venice and things, or sites and cities that you're going to be seeing. Bring a little highlighter out. Highlight the sites you want to see so you can easily find them because you think you can find them in a rush and you can't. Not that you need to find them in a rush, but sometimes you're going to be a little tired. You're going to get a little sweat in your eye. So if they're highlighted on the map, like Daryl said, if they're easy to find, and it's easier to get around. Now, you're going to take wrong turns. You're going to get lost. You're going to get frustrated. But enjoy the ride. The ride is the most fun. Getting from site to site, in my opinion, is the best part of traveling to Italy. So when you do that and know that things like that are going to happen, it really works out for your benefit. Two things I want to kind of interject here because I just got up during when Daryl was talking, and I got some extra wine, and it reminded me of something, two things pretty cool. when you have your hotel room, or if you listen to the How to Treat Italy radio show in the past and you rented an apartment or a villa, which I highly recommend, kind of picking a city and kind of digging in, even if it's only for a week, you can go to these wine shops throughout the cities and buy bottles of wine to keep at your place or your hotel, whatever you want to do. Now, the other side of this, too, you can really dig in and go to these wine stores, and you'll buy a bottle of wine. They'll give you, and then it's tap wine, for lack of a better term. So just think of, like, house wine at a restaurant. It's super cheap. A bottle of wine is around 2.5 euro. The wine is great. You can bring your empty bottle back the next day or the day after and get it filled up for only 2 euro, because the 50 euro or 50 cents is only a deposit, if you will, for the bottle. You're probably hopefully going to take the bottle home because it's that cool, I think. So there's ways that you can really save money and have some great wine and great experiences. And those kind of wine shops are usually a little deeper into the neighborhoods where the Italians live. So you're not going to find it right next to the Pantheon or Trevi Fountain, but you will find it, you know, away, a few blocks away from those sites. So do yourself a favor and buy some wine. So when you get back to your room at night, you can have a glass of wine and enjoy, if you're lucky enough to have air conditioning, you can sit down and enjoy some of this wonderful wine with a little bit of air conditioning, because you'll desperately need it at the end of the day.
And I can attest to the fact, through a lot of direct experience, the wine is very good from these places. there's a few bottles of it on the counter that we successfully took care of, you know, and it is really good. And it just goes with everything. And it's funny, after a couple days, myself included, you just have wine as just having a sip of a drink during the day, because it's part of the experience.
It really is.
And one thing that we were talking about, you get out your hotel and wander the streets, you know, have a plan, but don't have a plan. Right. We actually were trying to find a very specific restaurant that had been recommended to us, and we got the worst directions in the world from the guy at the hotel, who looked like a, you know, kind of a cheap man's Fabio, at the front desk. And so, and it's like everywhere we were in Rome around that general area, we saw this guy. It's like, how is he here too? He's like Isaac on the Love Boat. He's in every place of the ship at one time. So we go strolling out, and we couldn't find the place. We end up by mistake in the middle, I guess, the Jewish ghetto,
correct,
is it called?
Yes.
And found this fantastic restaurant.
Yeah, we were looking for a place called Crudo, and we ended up going to a place called Nonna Betta. And it'll be on howtotouritaly.com, but the website is Nonna, N-O-N-N-A, B as in boy, E-T-T-A dot I-T, and it's wonderful. Jewish food, Jewish-Italian food, if you will, from the Jewish ghetto. It was absolutely delicious and super affordable.
Yeah, very affordable, and the thing I recommend is, number one on the appetizer antipasti list, it was the fried artichokes in the Jewish style.
Yeah, carciofi.
Best thing I've ever had.
They're delicious.
Fantastic. And, you know, it's funny, we started out at a cafe outside. This is 10 o'clock at night. And we started, and there's probably 15, 20 tables outside. Everybody's eating. We sit down, we get about one glass of wine into it. And all of a sudden, all the waiters and owners of the place start picking up tables and moving them inside the restaurant, including ours, all of them. And all of a sudden, we're stuck inside. Evidently, we weren't allowed to be out there on the sidewalk, according to the city. And so they moved us all inside, but they're very, very accommodating, and they apologized and brought us all sorts of wonderful food, saw how we were, and everybody was having a great time. All of a sudden we looked out, it's midnight now, we're just finishing dinner, let's go walk around for a couple hours. But that was one of those things that we had planned to go to the Trevi Fountain, and along then, that was our plan, but along the way we got kind of lost and had one of the best meals of our lives. So those are the kinds of things that make the experience a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
And, you know, don't have so much of a plan that you miss things along the way.
Exactly. Just, I think, kind of going with the flow is key to Italy, because things aren't going to go as planned. Things aren't going to be on time. If you let yourself get frustrated, it'll start to have a negative impact on your trip. So just go with the flow. Enjoy the food. Have your camera always ready. Take lots of great pictures. And Daryl always has a good point. Never turn the video camera off, because a lot of times when you're supposed to be recording, it's kind of scripted or what it's supposed to be. But the fun stuff happens when no one's looking, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the thing along the way that I really enjoyed was the fact that, you know, you had a great tip with where to go for a restaurant. It's busy, and there's a lot of people speaking Italian there. That's probably a good place to go, because they know, the locals know where the good food is, and there's probably not some junk souvenir place across the way. It's
exactly
not a tourist hangout with that. And yeah, with that video camera, keep it on all the time. And a good technique, what everybody does is, and I go back to this concept of the reveal again, everybody turns their video camera on when they're standing in front of the monument or the statue, whatever. Oh, there it is. Mm-hmm. But it's really effective to remember what it was like for you to start your video camera right before you turn the corner.
Yes.
Get that 2 seconds of walking there and you turn and there it is.
Yeah.
Cause it'll hit people the same way. You'll show it to them and go, whoa, look at that.
It's true.
And they kind of experience it the way you do. And you want the kind of the walk up and you, to hear everybody going, wow, look at that. And the hustle and bustle, the whole thing. It's part of the experience that you had. So don't cut out that first 10 seconds of the video.
Right.
Do that and take your pictures that way too.
I agree 100%. And look, as Earl said, Rome is quite a bit different than Florence. I think Florence is a little bit more neighborhoody, if you will. And Rome is a much bigger city. Lots of great things. And then something else for, you know, to kind of manage the heat, if you will, here in Italy. You can make sure that you will visit the museums during the day. That's an obvious one. A lot of times, if you save some of the outdoor sites for the evening when things are cooler, that's a really good one. The other part is there are lots of indoor sites, and you can check out. I did a wonderful interview, and I'm very excited. I think it might even air the same time this one does in the same show with J.M. Pesquese and her wonderful husband, David.
Oh, great. I got to compete with that.
Go ahead. Yeah, exactly. And we did the interview live from the basement of a restaurant in Rome that was built in and above the remains of Pompey's Theater. This is the same Pompey's Theater that Julius Caesar was assassinated in. And we were lucky enough, the restaurant obliged us, allowed us to go down there and do the video shoot. It was nice and cool. It's right off of Campo di Fiori. It is absolutely amazing. I'm not going to tell you the name of the restaurant in this segment because I want to save it for this segment, with JM and David Pesquese. And talk about it then. It's going to be on howtotourealy.com as well with pictures of the front and the name of the place. It's amazing. And this place is great. So go there. If you are going to eat lunch there, even if you can't, if it's during the day or whatever, and you're not allowed to go down there because they're not serving food down there or whatever, they'll let you go down, take pictures, experiences. This is one of those sites that's absolutely free, not run by the government. You can't buy tickets. You just walk in, buy a little food. Now, the food's expensive. The drinks are expensive because they know where they're built. They know what they have here. But it's so worth it. It's awesome. And I highly recommend it. So that's the other side of it to kind of stay cool is to go visit, do a lot of indoor museums and churches and things like that in the heat of the day. Cause I'll tell you from about, I'd say 11 to 3, it starts to really kind of wear you down, especially if you're in the Roman Forum and things. So just be prepared.
Yeah. You're going to be tired too. You've been doing this stuff all day. And so if your first instinct is you hit that hotel room, we're done. Hey, there's a TV. Let's put that on. Maybe Golden Girls and Italians on. But, you know, that's the big waste of time that you get up. You know, it's 9:30. I know you're tired and all that stuff, and you haven't not used to walking this far. I guarantee if you get up, because this happened to me, you get up and you walk outside, and you get 400 yards from your hotel, you're up for 3 more hours. Because you'll just take it, start taking it all in, and next thing you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, we can go home now.
Exactly.
But, so that's the thing to do. That momentum gets you going, but it also keeps you in the hotel the whole time, too.
Right. That's true.
I would recommend getting the most minimum hotel you can. I mean, it's nice to stay in the Hilton. I do that all the time when I travel for work and things. But, you know, that's nice because that's my base of operations when I'm working. But my base of operations when I'm on vacation is outside.
Yeah.
So make that the nicest place you have. And just have somewhere, a safe place, nice clean place to keep your stuff before you go back to the airport or the train station.
Exactly. And if you, I think if you spend less on the hotel, you'd be much, much happier. All you need is a place to stay, to get showered up, and off you go. And, you know, if you want to spend the extra 20 euro or whatever for something with air conditioning, I completely understand that, and that makes sense. So that's something to consider. Well, now, I do not have air conditioning in my place here in Florence.
No, you do not.
No. So Kristen and me kind of, at night sometimes it gets a little warm, but the fan makes a big difference. Kind of, you know, keeps you cool. So make sure that you at least have a fan where you're staying.
Make sure you have 2 fans, actually. Since every night it's a big detente exercise of who's taking the fan.
Exactly. So what's it like, Daryl, for you, not speaking any Italian, getting around here in Italy? Have you found it difficult, easy to do? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think most of the people that you run into, they speak some English in some way. And it's funny. They can see the pause on your face when they say something to you in Italian, and there's a tenth of a second of, and then they instantly respond in English right afterwards. Right. They may not speak English, but they can say how much things are, quantities.
Exactly.
Things like that, taxi, auto, you know, all these things that you would recognize. Keep in mind though that you just don't go spouting off these long winding sentences of what I want, what I think. Very simple hand gestures, you'll get anywhere you want. I mean, most of the time, most people that are coming vacation, want the same things. They're buying things. They're going places. How much is this? Where's the food? Whatever. But, you know, part of the experience, try to pronounce the things. You know,
I agree.
They'll correct you. And they'll correct you in a nice way. Yep. And then you'll learn how to say it from now on.
Exactly.
So now when you go home and go to an Italian restaurant, you know, now you sound like this real worldly guy who's drinking tap wine at home.
Exactly. Now, one of the things that I like to recommend for people to do, like Daryl has a good point, try to pronounce things when you go to the Italian restaurants here in Italy. When you go, when you go to a restaurant in Italy, ask the server for the recommendation because restaurants specialize in different things. It could be a particular antipasti, it could be a particular pasta dish. And I asked blindly what the server recommended at, in the Jewish ghetto. How delicious was my pasta?
Oh, it was fantastic.
It was one of those things I was considering not getting because it's the kind of pasta that I always make on my own at home called cacio pepe. But he said, look, we specialize in this. You should definitely try it. And I have to tell you, I was so happy that I did. It was amazing. So be sure to do that. Ask people for their advice. They will give it to you happily. And most of the time, not only do you get a wonderful dish, you'll get the service because they're guiding you through a meal. And they will bring you things to taste and things to try and wine to pair it with. And they're not doing it to rip you off in any way. In fact, it'll probably be cheaper for you by asking, what should I get? What do you recommend? What kind of wine do I pair with this? Let them guide you through the whole meal and go all the way to the digestivo and try something you wouldn't try at home. Try a grappa. Try a wonderful drink called Cynar, C-Y-N-A-R. It's a derivative of artichokes. It's wonderful with a little squeeze of lemon and one or two ice cubes in it. If you do things like that and go the whole way, because keep in mind, Italy does not shut down at midnight. You can enjoy all the wonderful fountains and all the great things after dinner, and it's a great way to go. Plus, you've been walking around. Take advantage of kind of sitting down and relaxing and use the meal as the other part of the experience. The Italian food, again, the food here is spectacular. Everyone knows that. But the difference is between a traveler and a tourist. A tourist has no idea where they've been, and a traveler has no idea where they're going. What I mean by that is, let the servers in these restaurants guide you through the meal because some specialize in seafood, some specialize in pastas and different things. In fact, here in Florence, we did this just the other night at a place called Fagioli, right near Santa Croce. It's a restaurant I've been trying to get in, try to kind of get over there. And I tell you, it turned out to be one of my favorite little places here in Florence. There are lots of them, and I'll be kind of focusing on all of them on howtotoitaly.com. But this place was great. It's a handwritten menu. It changes every single week. The server, they speak extraordinarily good English. Better English, quite frankly, than we do, sadly. But they speak Italian as well, obviously. So what I'm saying is it's great homemade cooking, great food, traditional Florentine cuisine, all done here on, or rather done at the restaurant on premise. And I was surprised at how wonderful everything was being so close to Santa Croce. I was really pleased. And what are your thoughts on that place, the Fagioli place? Did you love it?
I believe that was the place I had the gnocchi.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yes. And it was wonderful. It was just the right portion, and it was half potato and half pumpkin.
Yes,
stuffed in there with this just a light meat sauce on top of it. And I was done. You know, I had a little bit of the bread, and I was like, I'm fine.
Yeah,
it was great. It was probably that best type of that dish I have ever had. And it was nice and simple. We were one of five tables in the restaurant at like 10:30 at night, so it was a great experience. Yeah. And they're very, very nice. And one of the things about all the restaurants I've noticed, well, first of all, anywhere you go, do your best to, you know, smile and do your best with the menu and speak the language as best you can, and they appreciate that. And also, though, remember the owners of these places and even the servers take great pride in what they have. They're very passionate. This is what they do all day.
Right.
All day long. They want to talk about their food. They want to tell you what's best on the menu and things. So ask them. You don't know.
Exactly.
And you don't want the Italian version of Olive Garden experience when you come in here. You want, that's right. It's not called Italian food here. It's called food. And so talk to the people about, what's your favorite thing to eat?
You know,
why did you open this restaurant? Because I make these three things better than anybody. So have that for dinner. You won't regret it. And they love to come by and talk to you at the table and tell you all about it, why they like it. And we've really enjoyed that experience.
Oh, it's great. I mean, that meal in particular here in Florence for me was one of my favorites because we started out with, in terms of an antipasti, we had the crostini misti. And what else did we have? Kristen, what else did we have at Fagioli besides the crostini misti? No, this was a couple days ago.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that, you know, we had a couple different courses, and, you know, everything just comes in a nice small little portion.
Yeah.
And things, and it's always slightly different. You had the penne, I believe.
Yeah.
With that. And then...
Involtini, but that was the second course. We just, okay, so, forgive us, we're chit-chatting amongst ourselves here, trying to get things organized, because, I take all the notes, my notebook with all the notes and things that I ate at Fagioli are across the way, but for antipasti, I know for a fact we had the crostini misti, which is the mixed crostini here, and it was wonderful. We had the liver, the mushroom, then we had tomato, and then we had one with just garlic and olive oil, which is delicious.
And once again, almost every place we've gone, it's not like we're skimping at all, too. We're going to nice restaurants and spending some money, and, you know, that's where you take your hotel savings. If you're worried about a budget,
right,
save on the hotel. It's probably your biggest expense after airfare. Spend it on the food.
Without a doubt.
And also, though, and some people may disagree with me on this, but we're pretty much drinking house wine at every meal.
Every meal.
Every meal, because it goes with the food. It's perfect for it. The reason they have that house wine is because, right, they know what's good with their food.
Yep.
They've already done that pre-screening for you. They're not going to give you some cruddy wine that makes their food taste terrible. So just go with that. Spend on the food. The food is what's there. You want to have an expensive bottle of wine? Go have that back at your hotel and, you know, sit there, or sit there at a cafe looking at the fountains or whatever. Do it then. But at your meal, let the food be the star a little bit here, because the wine in Italy, the house wine, is better than most wines back in the United States or a lot of other places.
Absolutely. Now, my friend Hand at Vino Roma is going to disagree. She likes to order a bottles of wine from a particular region to be paired appropriately with the food. And I think that that's a great way to go, too. Now, you should, I'm not saying every single meal should always be house wine. If you are getting a Florentine steak, now be sure to pair the wine if you want to go a little bit above the house wine. Ask them what they recommend. And they do a great job making a pairing for you. But the house wine is a cheap way to go. I do apologize, Hand. I hope you don't hate me.
That's strictly Daryl's opinion on that there.
But it's a very, very good way to go. Now, with the Fagioli in this particular instance, I had a ravioli with a wonderful, wonderful meat sauce, local to the Florentine culture, and it was delicious. As the second course, we had the involtini, the beef wrapped in these potatoes. It was so good. I can't even really describe it. But that all came. I didn't even really look at the menu. I said, what do you recommend? And they pointed these things out, and it was a home run across the board. And then, you know, we went out and had a little gelato after that to kind of wrap things up for the evening and have a couple drinks. But that's the difference, I think, when you go out to these restaurants, to let them kind of guide you, and it makes a wonderful experience. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about Siena, and then we're going to wrap, since we've been talking for about an hour. This is supposed to be a 20-minute segment, but I'm having so much fun, I'm just going to keep it going, and hope you guys...
A little bit verbose, sorry.
Hope you guys aren't bored to tears on this side of the, you know, listening to what we're doing here. But,
hello, anyone there?
Yeah. So, we went to Santa Maria Novella, the train station here in Florence. It's not just a train station, there's a church, and that's why it's called Santa Maria Novella. But the train station, we bought tickets that morning at the auto ticket machine here for the train to get to Siena. It was €6 a piece, one way, so €12 round trip. And we went and took the local train into Siena, and we took a bus from the local train station in Siena into the center, which was great. And then we enjoyed the splendor of Siena for the day, which is really cool. So what are your thoughts about Siena? Did you like it? How did it compare in terms of Rome and Florence and other things that we've seen?
Well, Siena looks like one of those things that you typically see in the movies when people say, oh, let's take a little romantic vacation to the countryside. And that's exactly what it looks like. Mm-hmm. It is a small town, even though it's not small. It just has a small town feel to it. There's no skyscrapers there. Everything looks 2,000 years old, or at least 500 years old. The newest looking thing in the whole place is the train station.
Right.
So, but what we found, you know, first of all, we come out and we wanted to get the autobus or whatever to the center.
Mm-hmm.
And, so you go over there, you have to walk across the
street,
into there, and you go downstairs two floors, and that's where you pick it up and you can buy your ticket. Now, one thing that we found was funny that you were educating me about is the fact that, you know, stops are optional a lot of times on these bus centers. We went right by the stop we were planning to. It said right on the sign that we were planning to stop there. And they're like, oh, no, no.
Right.
So keep an eye on where you are. Don't keep your head down too much or listening to your iPod or whatever. You'll blow right by where
you're
planning to go. I mean, these are how locals get around, and they have to push the button for their stops and So you keep an eye on it too. But we go up into there and, you know, you just walk the streets and there's these cobblestone streets, lots of hills up and down and up and down. Very tight channel, so watch your back so you don't get by a motorcycle or a taxi coming by or a bus.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did the main sites, which, Jeff, forgive me, I'm not going to be good at pronouncing, so I'll leave that to you.
Yeah, we went to the Duomo, and then we went to Piazza del Campo, where they run the Palio, of course. And then one of the highlights, I think, was Facciatone, which is when you go to the Duomo, you can go into the Duomo Museum, and you can go up to the top of the unfinished portion of the Duomo, and you have one of the best sites, or one of the best views, I should say, certainly in Siena. I would argue the whole of Tuscany. I mean, it is amazing because you can see the rooftops of Siena, and it's just a fantastic way to experience it. We've got some video coverage about getting up and down to Facciatone to show you what it's like kind of climbing up this very tight little spiral staircase. It's amazing. So what would you think of that? I mean, how was the view?
Well, the view is amazing, and actually I horrified Anthony a little bit on this trip. And I was like, you know what this reminds me of? The countryside looks a lot like Kentucky. I can actually see him melt a little bit, but he said, no, actually, Kentucky is a beautiful place. You know, the rolling hills, the mountains that are not these titanic mountains like
right.
the Rockies, but they're it's amazing, and everything's very, very green, except all those traditional like terracotta-type roofs that you see everywhere that are as far as the eye can see. And
yes.
You're able to look down on the whole city and then look beyond the city and see nothing but green and vineyards and mountains. And it had just rained. It had just poured.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, the sun's coming through. We got rainbows coming up. You're like, you got to be kidding me. So we're taking videos from up there, and it's a great, great sight to see. And then, of course, down in the Duomo itself, the great works of art and all the different things to be able to see there. So it's just one thing after another, and same as we do everywhere else. We end up beforehand and afterwards stopping at a cafe for an espresso or for a glass of wine or a little something to eat. Very, very simple. And it's a great city to be able to do in a day. You know, so if your base of operations is Florence,
sure.
To get back and forth, you know,
piece of cake.
8-10 hours, done.
Absolutely. It's a great way. Now, I recommend Siena. I recommend staying the night there so you can experience Siena at night because it is a totally different city once most of the day trippers have left and gone back to their home base. Siena as a home base is a wonderful way to go. It's a beautiful city. There's lots of life after dark. And the Campo itself, the Piazza del Campo is beautiful. You can get a little wine and enjoy it out there. Facciatone, and it really kind of calms down into like a local Siena as opposed to a tourist Siena at night. And it's something that you should experience because it's great. Now, the other piece that we were able to enjoy in Siena, there's a couple of places you can go and eat that have local Siena cuisine, which is quite a bit different, if you know, from Florence. So that's something else you should do. And on howtotourtoitaly.com, I point out some of my favorite restaurants in Siena to dive in and try the local fare, which is wonderful. So now we are getting ready to kind of wrap up the interview here because we're heading out on our own here to go out and get a bite to eat. And we're, you know, purposely, what time is it here now in Italy? Is it around 8:30 at night or so?
Right.
Yeah. So, which is perfect. And this is a good time to go out and kind of enjoy the evening here in Italy. So we are off to do that. I want to thank Daryl, for being, a guest of mine here for the week.
Oh, thank
great.
You.
Oh, my pleasure. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been great for a couple reasons. One, I get to be, a tour guide, which I love to do. But it's fun to do it for a friend, especially, because he's never been here before. So it's so nice to watch all the reveals kind of come to life here. It's been great. We've loved having you. So it's been wonderful. And thank you so much for that. And we're going to be off to Milan tomorrow to check out the Duomo, Da Vinci's Last Supper, the Sforza Castle, and lots of other great things. And then Daryl's off to London after that, right?
Right, absolutely. Got some speaking gigs in Milan and then London.
That's very nice, dude, for work. So with that, I want to thank everyone for listening to the How to Tour Italy radio show. And please keep listening and downloading the segments. I'm doing very, very well in the iTunes rankings, I should say. I'm always in the top 10, 15, or top 20, which is quite an accomplishment for little old me, considering I'm competing against the giants that exist out there. So thank you all very much for all your support so far, and I hope you've got a lot more show to go. Ciao.
If you love travel, imagine visiting one of the world's greatest cities and exploring it as very few ever have. Only Context Travel makes it possible. Context Travel offers in-depth walking seminars for intellectually curious travelers like you. It's your chance to experience a city as a cultural experience, unlike any traditional tour. Context Travel is a network of architects, historians, and art historians. They feature small groups of six or less, led by PhD-level scholars, with walks lasting from 3 hours to a full day. You can book a Context tour in seven great cities: New York, Paris, London, Rome, Florence, Venice, Naples, or Istanbul. Context Travel offers concierge services, art and archaeology walks, cuisine walks, shopping walks, and more. Visit us online at contexttravel.com. That's contextravel.com. That's contexttravel.com.